And I've given you glory. Say, I have declaratively praised you. So I wait, expecting my blessing right now. Applaud God in this room, everybody. Go on and give him some glory in advance. Clap your hands again. I'm so glad today I heard.
So glad today I heard you.
I heard you clearly.
Clearly.
Now I'm grateful.
Grateful. In spite of my circumstance, all I want to do is serve you
and love you.
And praise you.
Praise you.
You gave me another chance.
I was broken.
I was broken.
Broken hearted.
I
fell
down.
Shackles.
Shackles
heavy.
Things you know I've been through.
Sing, Miranda.
Made me, gave me strength that I can endure.
In the secret place I'm dwelling.
In the secret place I'm dwelling.
Safely.
Safely. Ever so bravely.
Your foundation,
standing sure.
Listen to this. Release. Give it to me. I need a blessing right now. Really release. Give it to me. Yeah. I need blessing right now. Everybody say.
Right now.
So release.
Release.
Give it to me, God. hands in advance like it's already yours. That was my plea. That was my plea.
That was my plea.
And you liberated me.
And you liberated me.
Clap your hands like you love God in here.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory to your name, Jesus. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine.
Don't stop blessing him.
Is there anybody here this morning willing to verbally, vocally, bodaciously say hallelujah to God for God's salvation for us? That our salvation isn't contingent on anything except God's mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Progressive involvement. Untying the cerebral knot. In a time when there is so much death and destruction, I'm looking for any and everything that will signify life. And so as I have searched this text and been given an opportunity to sit with God in reflection over the last few days, naturally, I'm human, I have questions. God, what words will you speak through me that speaks to my life and the life of those that will hear this message? What words will help each of us understand that our participation in this Lenten season must be different than any other? What is it, God, that you are saying to us so that as the church, we can untie our cerebral knots? How many of you know that if you are willing to be daring enough to question God, patient enough to wait for a response, God will answer? Welcome to the first Sunday in Lent. Now, if you read the story of Jesus' baptism in Matthew or Luke, it simply says the heavens open. They make it sound easy. They make it sound like they just open like a door. They make it sound simple. But how many of you here today know that something that is easily opened is just as easily closed again? In Mark's story, however, the testimony is a bit different. In Mark's gospel, it says that the heavens are torn apart. The word in Greek is schizo. Say it with me. Schizo. Say it once more. Schizo. And as you say it, this time, one more time, think about that shirt, schizo, and see if you can hear within the word, the sharp and jagged, rough edges that tearing apart creates. When something is torn open, it means you cannot easily put it back together. So what does that mean for us today? Especially considering this week in America. Could it mean that the veil between us and God has been torn apart, never to be closed again? Mark is writing a devastating political commentary that is totally relevant for us as the 21st century church. He is saying that the powers of the world at that time, the Jerusalem establishment and Rome, are in league with Satan. Mark is telling us that Jesus' struggle then is our struggle today. That just as Jesus struggled, we too are struggling with the demonic powers that take place in the political realm. Mark wants us to understand that our struggle is spiritual. We are currently engaged in a cosmic battle. We are in the wilderness. We have now entered the desert of Lent on a spiritual quest of our own. For Mark, unlike Matthew and Luke, the emphasis is less on being tempted and baptized than it is on Jesus being in uncharted territory. What God is saying to us through Mark is that this season, Lent, is more than a temptation or baptismal experience. In other words, Lent is not a domesticated kind of pious self-improvement, giving up something that most people think is good to give up type of thing. Yes, during those 40 days, Jesus was without food and water, being tempted by Satan to prove he was the Son of God. Why? Because prior to that, and what I said is Jesus was in uncharted territory. He came from God, was of God, was God, is God, and yet in his human form, he was himself lost. Yes, Jesus was also baptized, but it becomes clear that even though Jesus was baptized, the wilderness cannot be escaped. What God is showing us through this text is that both temptation and baptism equip us for the realities of the wilderness, for the realities of progressive involvement, and for the work of untying the cerebral knot of religiosity so that the joyful proclamation of resurrection that comes from overcoming conflict and suffering can bear witness that the kingdom of God is indeed near. This story is not just about Jesus. It is our story too. Just as God's words refer to Jesus in a uniquely literal way, they also apply to each one of us. By grace, gift, and the choice of God, we are God's beloved sons and daughters. If going to the wilderness in Jesus' way, then it is our way too. In the wilderness of Lent, we leave behind our old identity. That's what this holy season of Lent is about. It is no coincidence that on Wednesday, we were marked with the ashes of remembrance. And today, the gospel takes us to the wilderness. We cannot be separated from the dust of our creation. Wednesday's ashes lead us to wilderness soil. The wilderness is an in-between place. It is a place of liminality, a threshold. We are betwixt and between, neither here nor there. Between untying the cerebral knot and progressive involvement. More than cessation or abstinence, God wants us to understand that in order to be progressively involved, we have to leave some things behind. We have to untie the cerebral knot and move from what was into what will be, which is in most cases not clear. In the wilderness, we come face to face with the reality of our lives, things done and left undone. Our fears, our hopes and dreams, our sorrows and losses, as well as the unknown. And so it is, as we seek to experience our Lenten quest fully, we need to realize that the quest we're on for these 40 days is not tame, because we are not living in a tame society. What is happening in this world today is not tame. The heavens have been schizoed, torn open. The veil of this country has been pulled back. And for those of us that are striving to follow Jesus, we need to understand that Lent is not only 40 days of centering and reflection. It is a time of preparation for truly participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is about dying to an old identity defined by our cultures, our traditions, and our habits, and being born into a new identity centered in the Spirit of God. It means dying to an old way. It's about untying the cerebral knots and being born into a new way of being fully centered in God. It's not easy. This Lenten season, God wants you to know that the kingdom of God is near. Now is the time that we as Christians need to die to our deadness. We need to die to the daily routines of our lives that we trudge through, which cause us to be oblivious to the needs of others and the call of the Lord on their lives. This season is a time of reminding ourselves of God's love and God's reality. It's a time to be lifted out of our confinement, removing the shackles of burden and worry from our own mortality. It says that Jesus was the Spirit, as the Spirit descended, said in him, it was Jesus that saw the Spirit descend on him and rest on his shoulders. And that very Spirit is resting on us today. It's on our shoulders. And God wants us to know that God's Spirit did not simply rest on Jesus' shoulders. It went into Jesus. The Spirit of God possessed Jesus. So Jesus has been claimed by God and possessed by the Spirit of God. And then what happens? He's taken, driven, thrown, tossed into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Why 40 days? When you think about the number 40, think about the rain that fell for 40 days and nights. Think about the number of days that Moses was on Mount Sinai. Think about the years the Israelites spent wandering in the wilderness. Now, think about the number 40 and allow me to submit that 40 is the number of weeks that it took for you and me to be birthed into the world. So could it be that the number 40 has something to do with being born or reborn? Maybe it has to do with finding new life in the midst of the current terrorization in this country. If that is true, could it be that Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness and our 40 days of Lent is a time of conception, gestation, and growth? A time of preparation for rebirth into new life and preparation for the life of ministry that we have ahead of us in this wounded and fractured world? So what are we as humans and humanly Christian to do with all of this? Lent is a much deeper season than simply giving up sweets and chocolates. Over the next 40 days, we are being invited to be rebirthed. What has become destructive and disorienting has had its time. The church, as we have known it, must commit to a new way of being or a new way of relating to the world. We have to fully know that the life-creating words that God spoke to Jesus are life-creating words to each and every one of us too. We are enough for God. We are valuable to God. We have been claimed by God. And we matter because God needs us. He needs to use us to be progressively involved in transforming the established order of the worldly political powers with their hierarchy and cultural division. Let that sink into you. Let that be the seed that conceives and sprouts new life within you this Lenten season. Jesus exhorts us to turn and trust. Turn from and trust Jesus, who leads the way into a future of reconciliation, equity, and equality. We can never escape the wilderness or avoid it. Like Jesus, We must face the wild beasts of elitism, false teaching, and satanic government officials. In this Lenten season, what are the parts of your life God wants to be reborn? Where does God want you to live differently for the sake of the kingdom? Where does God want to bring life into the world through you? Answering these questions may feel like entering dark, deep, and uncharted waters for you, but you go well equipped. You are one with whom God is well pleased. The heavens have been torn apart, never to be closed again. Know that the very descending Spirit of God has entered into each of us with each remembrance of who we are. Demons are banished. With each remembrance of who we are, we overcome Satan's temptations. With each remembrance of who we are, we take another step closer to God. Remembrance after remembrance, step after step, is the way through the wilderness. Say to you, I am a beloved child of God. With me, God is well pleased. As we look toward the what's next in this country, let that become our mantra for getting through the wilderness. Let these words fill our minds, cross our lips, and occupy our hearts. Amen.